If you take your Bibles and open to Exodus chapter 4, we're going to begin in Exodus 4:27. If you need a Bible, some under the chairs there. And you can find Exodus 4:27 on page 43. But last week, if you weren't here, a quick review. We looked at the reluctancy of Moses. We saw that though God had spoken to Moses, Moses got to hear the audible voice of God and call out to him from amidst this burning bush and say, "Moses, Moses." And even though Moses said, "Here I am," we saw that Moses was a bit hesitant, a bit reluctant to say, "Okay, Lord, send me. Lord, here I am, but let me do what you're asking me to do." He was a bit reluctant to follow through with that. And we saw last week how Moses offered up some excuses to God. Then he said, but God, what if this happens, or what if that happens, and so on. And so we saw God, even though he was, the Bible says, angry with Moses, in his grace, he said, "Okay, Moses, I've still got a plan. I'm going to use your brother Aaron, and I'm going to use both of you to accomplish my will and my purposes." The passage that we'll look at today is really a very encouraging passage, and I pray today as you hear the words that you'll be encouraged in your heart and in your spirit as we look at this. Certainly, this was an up moment for Moses. Moses had his ups and he had his downs. If you like the downs, come back next week. We'll see Moses goes back down and gets a little frustrated. But let's look at Exodus 4, 27 to 31. It says, "The Lord said to Aaron, 'Go into the desert to meet Moses.' So he met Moses at the mountain of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron everything the Lord had sent him to say, and also about all the miraculous signs he had commanded him to perform. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped." As we look at our passage today, we know that Moses at this point was 80 years old. And we know that he had spent the first 40 years of his life in Egypt. The next 40, from 40 to 80, he was in the land of Midian. The Bible also tells us that at this point, Aaron was 83. He was 3 years older than Moses. One thing we don't know is how much contact Moses and Aaron may have had during those 80 years of Moses' life, or if they had any contact at all. But we find in our passage today that Aaron finally comes and he meets his brother Moses. And what does the Bible say happens when they meet? Aaron does what? He kisses his brother. Now, you may read that and say, that seems kind of strange, because in our culture, I know we typically don't, when I see John on a Sunday morning, I may say, "Hey, bro, how you doing?" I may, put my hand out, we may shake, we may even go so far as to do the double pump on the back, but I don't kiss John when I greet him, not even on the cheek. I just don't do that. But in this culture, this was something that was practiced. We see even in the New Testament times when Paul writes his letters, what does he often say sometimes, right? Greet one another with a holy kiss, right? So this was a practice. And even today in some cultures, right? Guys may greet one another with a kiss of greeting there. I'm not sure, we have some Canadians here today. Now in your culture, I know it's so much different than America, but do you guys greet each other with a kiss?
Not very often.
Well, I was thinking, Bruce, that's probably why you grew that mustache, so no one would ever come near your cheek, right? Yeah. But the kiss in many cultures was a sign of affection. It was just a sign of love that you might have for someone. And so, again, we don't know how well Aaron might have known, but Aaron comes and he gives a kiss, a sign of affection here to his brother Moses. We see that Moses would then go on and tell Aaron everything that God said to him, and how God was going to work and deliver God's people. We see this happen in this encounter. And so Moses and Aaron relay this message to the elders of Israel, and they perform those two miracles. Remember the one with, with the snake and then the other with the hand. And the Bible says what? When the elders of Israel saw these things and heard these things, they said, wow, and they bowed. They believed and they worshiped God. Let me ask you, how do you think Moses felt at this point? I would imagine Moses had to be very encouraged at this moment. Because think about it, after Moses hemmed and hawed and said, gee, God, what if Israel doesn't listen to me? What if they don't believe in me? And God says, hey, I want you to do this. You take your staff and you throw it down, it becomes a snake, and then that snake turns back into a staff. You take your hand, put it into your pocket, comes out white like leprosy, put it back in, it's good as new. And when they see those things, they're going to believe what you say. And so as Moses does this thing before his very eyes, what does he see happen? This very thing play out before him. We see these people do exactly what God had said. I'm sure this was an incredibly encouraging thing to Moses and a way that his faith in God was incredibly increased. Now, I wish I could say that Moses stayed on this mountaintop of encouragement all his days, but he doesn't. Sometimes he gets discouraged, as we'll see next week. And as we think about our lives, we're a lot like Moses, aren't we? Sometimes we may be really encouraged, and other times we're discouraged. Well, today I want to talk about this topic of encouragement. And I believe how God would want us to be encouraged, and how we are to truly be encouraged in God, and what that looks like, and what that means. The first area of encouragement has to do with the Word of God, or what God says. And we see this in Moses' life, don't we? God had said, Moses, this is what's going to happen. And eventually Moses saw what God said was true. Moses learned that God was trustworthy and he was true because of what he had said. Now, I have never audibly heard the voice of God. God has never spoken to me out of a burning bush and said, Eric, take off your Nikes because the place you are standing on is holy ground. I've never heard the voice of God, but I have heard God speak time and time again through his written word to my heart, to my soul. That's how he speaks. And the more I hear, the more I immerse myself in his word, the more I grow in my faith. The more I seek to live out or put his word into practice, the more I find that God is trustworthy and true. And that leads me to be encouraged. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 15. Romans 15, 4 through 6. Paul says this, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul makes it very clear here that the Scriptures are a source of encouragement to you and I. Webster defines that word encouragement this way. He says it is to give courage, hope, or confidence to embolden or to hearten. Now, as we look at that word encouragement in the spiritual sense or in the biblical sense, it is not the idea of having a self-confident attitude, but instead it is having a confidence in God, or a hope in God, or we're emboldened in God, and our hearts are in tune to God. This is the idea of biblical encouragement. One of the difficulties of living in our day is that there is so much emphasis on self, on trusting in oneself and believing in oneself, and there's even a magazine, isn't there, called Self. we're just bombarded with messages that we need to keep looking at ourselves, looking at what we do. And this can be very dangerous when it comes to encouragement. And these messages may hit us from anywhere. You could be just sitting down watching an episode of Arthur. I mean, who here doesn't like little Arthur? I mean, he's a little cute little aardvark, teaches good, doesn't he? Good lessons to the kids. And before you know it, you're singing the theme song, right? Some of you know the theme song. Hey, hey, it's a wonderful kind of day. But what the theme song says is this: just believe in yourself. That's the place to start. Is that true? I would say believe in God, believe in Christ. That's the place to start, and everything else comes out of that. Our worldview comes out of our belief in God. Not how well I believe in myself and my abilities. That's not where it starts. It starts in our belief in God. And so because there is an emphasis on self, we may find, because we hear these messages, we tend to focus on ourselves. We tend to focus on what we do. We may like to tell other people what we do. We may like to tell other people what we say. And there's so much focus on that. And sometimes we think that doing that will bring us encouragement. And you may feel better for maybe a little while, but what happens when someone doesn't notice what you do? What happens when someone doesn't like what you do or what you say? Or maybe they may disagree with what you say. Or they may not like your ideas and plans. What tends to happen? We get discouraged, don't we? Why? Because true encouragement, please listen, true encouragement does not come by looking inward. It comes by looking upward. True encouragement does not come when I look in the mirror. It comes when I look in the mirror of God's Word and see what His Word has to say about who I am and what He wants me to do in my life. That's where true encouragement comes. Is it any wonder that there is a great measure of discouragement in our day when there is also a great measure of messages that focus on self? I think there's a great correlation there when we stop and think about it. Again, Paul says he looked to the Scriptures to bring him encouragement. If you say to me, Pastor, I haven't cracked my Bible all week, it won't surprise me if in the next breath you say, man, I am so discouraged. If you say, Pastor, I read my Bible this week, but I didn't live it out. I didn't put it into practice. I won't be surprised if you say, I am so discouraged. Because obedience also brings encouragement. Let me ask you, is the Word of God a major source of encouragement in your life? I pray that it is. I pray that it is. And if it's not, then let it be so. It's God's desire for us. Leads us to the second area when we consider the Word of God, and that is not just knowing what it says, but obeying it. Second area is obedience. Obedience can bring us encouragement. I believe we see this in Moses' life. Remember, at first he was hemming and hawing, and he didn't do what God wanted him to do, but eventually when he does do what God wanted him to do, I'm sure there was great encouragement when Moses saw God was trustworthy. Over and over, the Scriptures teach us that obedience brings encouragement, or it brings hope. It brings spiritual strength. Remember what Jesus once told his disciples. Many of you learned the song as a young one about the wise man and the foolish man, right? The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. What was that song all about? Just a fun song for kids to sing so we could go splat and hit our buddy in the chest? No. It was about putting the Word into practice. Both the wise man and the foolish man heard the Word of the Lord. But only one of them did what it said. Only one of them put it into practice. And the one who put it into practice had spiritual strength. So when the storms came, he could still stand. He wasn't blown over. And so too, we can get blown over if we're not obeying the word of God and what we see. We see this from James as well. Let's look at James. James chapter 1, some of the famous words that he says, and I've encouraged you to look at James over the past couple weeks as we've been going through Moses, James 1, 22 through 25. James says this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Let me ask you, how intently do you look into the perfect law, the word of God that James says gives us freedom? And so what James goes on to do as you read this letter is he begins to say this, okay, if the law of God, obeying the law of God brings us freedom, let's break out the law of God, people. And so James begins to say this, the law of God says this, do not discriminate among yourselves. Do not look at someone and make judgments on them based on what they have or what they don't have. It's not God's law. Don't do that. James says, love your neighbor as yourself. James says, have compassion on the widow and the orphan. James says this, God is the judge with a capital J. Therefore, why are you sitting on the throne? Now, he doesn't actually mean literally sitting on the throne, but theoretically, when we make judgments that we have no business making judgments about, James says, wrong. Goes against the law of God. God is judge. Let God deal with that. Let God judge that. James says, God's law says that God is the sovereign Lord of all. He's the king of the universe. Therefore, why are you saying, hey, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that without ever giving thought about the will of God? Because it is God who gives us our next breath. Therefore, we ought to be saying, if it is the Lord's will, I'll do this or I'll do that. Don't ever think your life is independent of God. And so you may say, Pastor, that doesn't sound very encouraging, all that James is saying there. Yes, it is. Because if we would look intently into what James is saying, and then we would obey it, there we would find true freedom. Do you want true freedom? Or do you want to be held in bondage? Do you want to be continually frustrated? Then don't do what James says to do. James says that we'll be blessed by our obedience. Jesus once told a crowd of people, blessed are those who not only hear the word of God, but who keep it or who obey it. What did Jesus mean there when he said, you'll be blessed? You'll have a really big bank account, right? No. Unfortunately, that's what many pursue. That's their whole idea of blessing. But to be blessed is this. To be blessed is to have God's abiding peace and joy and love reigning in our hearts. It is to be confident in Him. It is to be confident in His ways. It is to be so concerned about my own lack of obedience that I don't have much time for pointing fingers because I know I got a lot of work to do in my own life. Therefore, my nose better be in here. And that brings me freedom. Let me ask you, are you blessed? You can be by hearing the word and by doing what it says. Third area, final area that I want to look at this morning has to do with how we can encourage one another. We see that God brought Aaron to Moses. And though, yes, Moses was called to go it alone, we see God still brought Aaron there. There's this principle of togetherness that we see throughout the scriptures. When Jesus told the 12 to go out and preach and to heal and to do certain things, he sent them out in what? In pairs, didn't he? There was two that went. When we look at the early church, how it was established, we see guys like Paul and Barnabas, and Paul and Silas, and Barnabas and John Mark that are together. Why? I believe because there's a sense of encouragement. You can encourage someone when there's someone near you. If you're all alone, it's very hard to give and receive any encouragement. This is God's desire. We see as the early church was established, Paul would write to men like Titus and say, appoint elders, plurality there, elders in each town that would be spiritual leaders in a certain community. We see that this is so important. As we think about encouragement, there are tons of verses we could look at today, but I want to look at one. And it comes out of Hebrews. Hebrews 3, verse 13. Says this, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Every time you find that word encouragement in the New Testament, it is always in the context of a person's relationship with Christ. It is not about building self-esteem or self-assurance or self-confidence. It's always in their relationship with Christ, encouraging them in their walk with Christ and in their union with Christ. That means that what ought to be on our lips as believers? If we seek to encourage others, what should we be saying? Hey, keep the faith. Hey, remember God's goodness. Hey, remember God's grace. Hey, praise God for His love. Remember His faithfulness to you. Hey, brother or sister, don't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Sin has a way of making that which is evil look good. Brother or sister, don't let your heart be hardened as Petra used to sing. Remember that song? Don't let your heart be hardened. Don't let your love grow cold. May it stay so childlike. May it never grow too old. Sin has a way of making our hearts become old, if you will. I can become a grumpy old man spiritually because of sin's deceitfulness in my life. I don't want to be a grumpy old man spiritually. And ladies, I hope you don't want to be a grumpy old woman spiritually either. Sin has a way of doing that, has a way of hardening our hearts. Our hearts can become callous and cold. Therefore, encourage one another. We're called to give out encouragement. And when people seek to encourage us in the Lord, we're to be willing recipients. We're to receive it. And John says, hey, Eric, just keep pressing on. I need to receive that. Not say, I don't really care what John. No, I need to receive that. Because John is encouraging me in the Lord. And that's what we're called to do. Encourage each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. As we close today, let me just share the most encouraging words that any of us can hear. If today you are here and you don't know Jesus Christ, then please listen. Listen very carefully to these words. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The most encouraging words you can hear today is not how you can become a better you, but how you can become a new you if you're not in Christ. The way you can become a new you is to hear what was just said. That while we were still sinners, while we were powerless to save ourselves from God's wrath and His justice that I deserve, in that state, Christ still died for me. The love of God is seen in the cross of Christ. And God says, believe in that. Believe in Jesus Christ. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creature, a new creation. That is the most encouraging thing any of us can hear. Do you know Christ today? I pray you do. I pray you've understood what Jesus came to do. Leave glory, pay the price, pay the debt. The one who bled and died, the one who rose again, and the one who is coming again for your salvation. Let's pray. God, I thank you today for your word. Lord, I thank you that your word has the power to encourage us. And Lord, so I pray that you would help us to be faithful in feeding upon it each day. Lord, not just nibbling on it, but really feasting on it. And Lord, to read it and then to ask ourselves, God, am I being obedient to what I just read? Lord, help us to seek you and to desire to obey you in our lives. And Lord, help us to seek ways in which we can encourage those who may be drifting, those who may have some very hard hearts because of sin, who need their hearts softened by the power of your Spirit and of your word. Lord, give us eyes to see those who need to be encouraged. And God, thank you for being the greatest encourager of all and giving us the greatest news of all, that Christ would die for sinners like me. Thank you for this glorious truth, God, and we thank you in your name. Amen.